drink. Tom Foster came to Winesburg from Cincinnati when he was still young and could get many new impressions. His grandmother had been raised on a farm near the town, and as a young girl had gone to school there when Winesburg was a village of 12 or 15 houses clustered about a general store on the Trunion Pike. What a life the old woman had led since she went away from the frontier settlement, and what a strong, capable little old thing she was. She had been in Kansas, in Canada, and in New York City, traveling about with her husband, a mechanic, before he died. Later, she went to stay with her daughter, who had also married a mechanic and lived in Covington, Kentucky, across the river from Cincinnati. Then began the hard years for Tom Foster's grandmother. First, her son-in-law was killed by a policeman during a strike, and then Tom's mother became an invalid and died also. The grandmother had saved a little money, but it was swept away by the illness of the daughter and by the cost of the two funerals. She became a half-worn-out old woman worker and lived with the grandson above a junk shop on the side street in Cincinnati. For 5 years she scrubbed the floors in an office building and then got a place as dishwasher in a restaurant. Her hands were all twisted out of shape. When she took hold of a mop or a broom handle, the hands looked like the dried stems of an old creeping vine clinging to a tree. The old woman came back to Winesburg as soon as she got the chance. One evening, as she was coming home from work, she found a pocketbook containing $37, and that opened the way. The trip was a great adventure for the boy. It was past 7 o'clock at night when the grandmother came home with the pocketbook held tightly in her old hands, and she was so excited she could scarcely speak. She insisted on leaving Cincinnati that night, saying that if they stayed until morning, the owner of the money would be sure to find them out and make trouble. Tom, who was then 16 years old, had to go trudging off to the station with the old woman, bearing all of their earthly belongings done up in a worn-out blanket and slung across his back. By his side walked the grandmother, urging him forward. Her toothless old mouth twitched nervously, and when Tom grew weary and wanted to put the pack down at the street crossing, she snatched it up, and if he had not prevented, would have slung it across her own back. When they got into the train, and it had run out of the city, she was as delighted as a girl and talked as the boy had never heard her talk before. All through the night, as the train rattled along, the grandmother told Tom tales of Winesburg and of how he would enjoy his life working in the fields and shooting wild things in the woods there. She could not believe that the tiny village of 50 years before had grown into a thriving town in her absence, and in the morning, when the train came to Winesburg, did not want to get off. "It isn't what I thought. It may be hard for you here," she said. And then the train went on its way, and the two stood confused, not knowing where to turn, in the presence of Albert Longworth, the Winesburg baggage master. But Tom Foster did get along all right. He was one to get along anywhere. Mrs. White, the banker's wife, employed his grandmother to work in the kitchen, and he got a place as stable boy in the banker's new brick barn. In Winesburg, servants were hard to get. The woman who wanted help in her housework employed a hired girl who insisted on sitting at the table with the family. Mrs. White was sick of hired girls and snatched at the chance to get hold of the old city woman. She furnished a room for the boy Tom upstairs in the barn. "He can mow the lawn and run errands when the horses do not need attention," she explained to her husband. Tom Foster was rather small for his age and had a large head covered with stiff black hair that stood straight up. The hair emphasized the bigness of his head. His voice was the softest thing imaginable, and he was himself so gentle and quiet that he slipped into the life of the town without attracting the least bit of attention. One could not help wondering where Tom Foster got his gentleness. In Cincinnati, he had lived in a neighborhood where gangs of tough boys prowled through the streets, and all through his early formative years he ran about with tough boys. For a while he was a messenger for a telegraph company, and delivered messages in the neighborhood sprinkled with houses of prostitution. The women in the houses knew and loved Tom Foster, and the tough boys in the gangs loved him also. He never asserted himself. There was one thing that helped him escape. In an odd way, he stood in the shadow of the wall of life, was meant to stand in the shadow. He saw the men and women in the houses of lust, sensed their casual and horrible love affairs, saw boys fighting and listening to their tales of thieving and drunkenness, and moved and strangely unaffected. Once Tom did steal. That was while he still lived in the city. The grandmother was ill at the time, and he himself was out of work. There was nothing to eat in the house, and so he went into a harness shop on the side street and stole $1.75 out of the cash drawer. The harness shop was run by an old man with a long moustache. He saw the boy lurking about and thought nothing of it. When he went out into the street to talk to a teamster, Tom opened the cash drawer and, taking the money, walked away. Later he was caught, and his grandmother settled the matter by offering to come twice a week for a month and scrub the shop. The boy was ashamed, but he was rather glad too. "It is all right to be ashamed, and makes me understand new things," he said to the grandmother, who didn't know what the boy was talking about, but loved him so much that it didn't matter whether she understood or not. For a year, Tom Foster lived in the banker's stable, and then lost his place there. He didn't take very good care of the horses, and he was a constant source of irritation to the banker's wife. She told him to mow the lawn, and he forgot. Then she sent him to the store or to the post office, and he did not come back but joined a group of men and boys and spent the whole afternoon with them, standing about, listening, and occasionally, when addressed, saying a few words. As in the city, in the houses of prostitution, and with the rowdy boys running through the streets at night, so in Winesburg, among its citizens, he had always the power to be a part of, and yet distinctly apart from, the life about him. After Tom lost his place at Banker White's, he did not live with his grandmother, although often in the evening she came to visit him. He rented a room at the rear of a little frame building belonging to old Rufus Whiting. The building was on Duane Street, just off Main Street, and had been used for years as a law office by the old man, who had become too feeble and forgetful for the practice of his profession, but did not realize his inefficiency. He liked Tom, and let him have the room for $1 a month. In the late afternoon, when the lawyer had gone home, the boy had the place to himself, and spent hours lying on the floor by the stove and thinking of things. In the evening the grandmother came and sat in the lawyer's chair to smoke a pipe, while Tom remained silent, as he always did, in the presence of everyone. Often the old woman talked with great vigour. Sometimes she was angry about some happening at the banker's house, and scolded away for hours. Out of her own earnings she bought a mop, and regularly scrubbed the lawyer's office. Then, when the place was spotlessly clean and smelled clean, she lighted her clay pipe, and she and Tom had a smoke together. "When you get ready to die, then I will die also," she said to the boy, lying on the floor beside her chair. Tom Foster enjoyed life in Winesburg. He did odd jobs, such as cutting wood for kitchen stoves and mowing the grass before houses. In late May and early June he picked strawberries in the fields. He had time to loaf, and he enjoyed loafing. Banker White had given him a cast-off coat which was too large for him, but his grandmother cut it down, and he had also an overcoat, got at the same place, that was lined with fur. The fur was worn away in spots, but the coat was warm, and in the winter Tom slept in it. He thought his method of getting along good enough, and was happy and satisfied with the way life in Winesburg had turned out for him.